Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to Ayala Land's briefing on its results for the first quarter of 2019. Joining us on the line are 15 callers, and we'd like to remind everyone that our copies of the presentation is available for download at ir.ayalaland.com.ph. And of course, allow me to introduce our panel for today, led by our President and CEO, Mr. Bobby D., Head of our Residential Business Group, Mr. Robert Lau, Head of our Commercial Leasing Business Group, Mr. Junie Helandoni, and Head of our Strategic Land Banking and Management Group, Ms. Mian B. And of course, our Chief Finance Officer, Mr. Toti Bengzon. So allow me to open the presentation with Mr. Bengzon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. Allow me to share with you the results of our first quarter performance and provide you with an update on our recent announcement to establish the first REIT in the Philippines. Allow me to start off with a few key messages. First, Ayala Land's revenues increased by 7% to 39.7 billion, and net income rose by 12% to 7.3 billion. Second, property development revenues rose by 6% to 27.8 billion, while sales reservations increased by 8% to 34.1 billion. This from sustained local and overseas Filipino demand. Third, commercial leasing revenues jumped by 19% to 9.2 billion as shopping centers posted same mall revenue growth of 12%, pushing revenues higher by 14% to 5.1 billion. Office revenues surged by 27%, reaching 2.2 billion, supported by newly opened offices in Ayala North Exchange, Circuit Makati, and Vertis North. And hotels and resorts revenues climbed by 25% to 1.9 billion, driven by the higher contribution of our new SEDA hotels in Vertis North, Ayala Center Cebu, and Leo Palawan. Lastly, Ayala Land is targeting to establish the first REIT in the Philippines within the year. I'll discuss our financial and operational results first. Total revenues increased by 7% to 39.7 billion. This was primarily driven by real estate revenues, which grew by 8% to 39.1 billion, supported by the sustained traction of the property development business and stronger growth of the commercial leasing segment. We posted interest and other income of 533 million, a decline compared to the first quarter of 2018, which had a higher base as we recognized that one-time gain on the sale of our Malaysian subsidiaries, One City Properties. Equity and net earnings of associates and JVs contributed 263 million, 58% higher than the previous period, primarily as OCLP Holdings, our JV company with Ortigas, doubled its earnings to 135 million, reflecting strong property sales and leasing operations. This was combined with higher earnings from our FBDC companies from our leasing assets in the Bonifacio Global City. Interest and investment income came in at 181 million. This is 20% lower than the previous period as a result of lower interest income from short-term investments. Other income came in at 89 million, and this is primarily coming from our marketing and management fees. We posted a total of 28.5 billion in expenses. This is a 7% increase, mainly attributed to real estate expenses, which grew by 6% to 23.5 billion. General and administrative expenses came close to 2 billion, close to flat as we strictly managed our overhead costs. This led to a further improvement in our GAE ratio to 5%. Similarly, our EBIT margin improved to 35.5% from 34.6% previously. Interest expense, financing, and other charges registered close to 3 billion, 15% higher due to an increase in our outstanding debt and the higher interest expense. Netting out expenses from revenues, income before tax came in at 11.2 billion, 9% higher than the previous period. Our provision for income tax came in at 2.9 billion, a 6% increase from the first quarter of 2018, but we reflected a lower average income tax rate of 26% compared to the 26.6% in the previous period. As a result, income before non-controlling interests registered at 8.3 billion, 9% higher than the first quarter of 2018. Non-controlling interest came in at 975 million. And netting this out, net income attributable to ALI equity holders came in at 7.3 billion, 12% higher year on year. We continue to deliver top line growth through our complementary mix of property development and commercial leasing. Total revenues from property development amounted to 27.7 billion. This was 6% higher than the previous period. Revenues from the sale of residential lots and condominiums from our five residential brands, including MCT's revenues, reached 22.4 billion. This was a slight decline from the 22.6 billion in the previous period, as we recognized lower revenues from our Malaysian subsidiary, MCT, as they accomplished a full sellout of their three projects in Cyber South. Revenues from the sale of office spaces registered at 3 billion, close to double in value compared to the first quarter of 2018, due to the completion progress of our Alveo Financial Tower and new bookings from One Vertis Plaza. Revenues from the sale of commercial and industrial lots reached 2.3 billion, 17% higher from our commercial lot sales in Vermosa and Alviera. Commercial leasing revenues jumped 19% to 9.2 billion. Our shopping centers posted same mall revenue growth of 12%, pushing revenues higher by 14% to 5.1 billion from new malls such as Ayala Malls Feliz, Circuit Makati, Capital Central, Vertis North, and Cloverleaf, and the strong performance of our Makati malls, Glorieta and Greenbelt. Office revenues surged by 27%, reaching 2.2 billion, supported by our newly opened offices in Ayala North Exchange, Towers 1 and 2, Circuit Corporate Center, Towers 1 and 2, and Vertis North Corporate Center, Towers 1 and 2. Hotels and resorts revenues climbed by 25% to 1.9 billion, driven by the higher contribution of our new Seda hotels in Vertis North, Quezon City, Ayala Center, Cebu, and Leo, Palawan. Services, primarily composed of our construction arm, Makati Development Corporation, property management, represented by Ayala Property Management Corporation, and our power service companies, such as Direct Power Services, Ecozone Power Management, Inc., and Philippine Integrated Energy Solutions, their total revenues amounted to 14.2 billion, which is 25% lower than the previous year. MDC generated revenues 12.8 billion, 27% decline as we recognized higher completion from projects in the previous period. APMC and the power service companies registered revenues of 1.4 billion. This is a 10% dip from the same period last year due to lower external retail electricity supply contracts. Netting out our intercompany adjustments, which is essentially eliminating revenues arising from internal construction projects, real estate revenues amounted to 39.1 billion, 8% higher year on year. Together with interest and other income of 533 million, total revenues increased by 7% to 39.7 billion in the first quarter of 2019. The average gross profit margin of our horizontal residential projects came in at 42%. Lower than the previous period, as we had already sold out our high margin projects of ALP and Alveo. Meanwhile, our vertical projects improved by 2 percentage points to 37% on account of the increased contribution coming from our high margin projects such as ALP's Park Central North Tower, Alveo's Orient Place Tower 1, Avida's Aston Tower 3, and Prime Taft Tower 3. The average GP margin of offices for sale improved to 38% as we recognized higher margins from our canceled and resold units at Alveo Financial Tower and High Street South Corporate Center Centers 1 and 2. Gross profit margins from commercial and industrial lots increased to 48% from 43% as we recognized higher margins from commercial lot sales in Vermosa, Cavite, Alviera, Pampanga, and Leo, Palawan, and industrial lot sales from our Laguna Technopark. Commercial leasing EBITDA margins remain steady. Shopping centers remained at 66% as our newer malls in Vertis North, Quezon City, and Feliz started to stabilize. Similarly, in office leasing, we maintained a 90% EBITDA margin. while the overall EBITDA margin of our hotels and resorts portfolio increased by 4 percentage points to 34% on account of higher margins from our new SEDA hotels in Ayala Center, Cebu, Leo, Palawan, and Vertis North, Quezon City. This was coupled with improved RevPAR, revenue per available room of our existing hotels. Overall EBITDA margins of our service businesses advanced by 1 percentage point to 9%. We continue to diversify our net income mix, with new estates contributing 54% to the bottom line. Our recurring income contribution now stands at 38% of the total bottom line as of the first quarter of 2019. This was at 32% from the full year of 2018. In terms of property development, sales reservations increased by 8% to 34.1 billion from sustained local and overseas Filipino demand. This is equivalent to an average monthly take-up of 11.4 billion pesos. We launched 7 projects amounting to a total of 5.3 billion. So similar to last year, you can expect us to ramp up our projects, our residential projects in the second half of 2019. As we had disclosed, our target for the year is to launch 130 billion pesos of residential projects. Unbooked revenues are now standing at 144 billion, and this will be recognized in the next 3 to 4 years based on the percentage of completion method. In terms of international sales, our local Filipinos continue to drive reservation sales as they comprise 71% of the total, amounting to 24.1 billion, 8% higher than the previous period. Sales to overseas Filipinos continue to be strong, growing by 15% to 4.1 billion, taking up 12% of total sales reservations. Sales to non-Filipinos totaled 5.8 billion or 17% of total sales. This is only 5% higher than last year, and similar to last year, approximately half went to Chinese buyers, 19% to American nationals, with the rest incrementally composed of other nationalities. A few key launches for the residential group in the first quarter: Ayala Greenfield Estates Phase 8 in Calamba, Laguna, value of 1.4 billion. In a month's time, 28% has been taken up. For Amaya Vermosa in Cavite, 12% taken up. Step Sukat in Parañaque, 20% taken up. Moving on to our leasing businesses, starting with our malls. Total mall GLA now stands at 1.91 million square meters, with the addition of 8,000 square meters as we opened the Ayala North Exchange retail area last March. Average occupancy for all our malls is at 89%, while the occupancy rate of our stable malls stands at 95%. Same mall rental growth improved. It's now at 12%. For the rest of the year, we can look forward to the opening of Ayala Malls Manila Bay and Central Block in Cebu. We expect these two malls to open in the third and fourth quarter of the year. Ayala Malls Manila Bay is 81% leased out, while Central Block is 53% leased out. Total remaining GLA to be completed in 2019, the GLA that we expect to open for this year, comes in at 222,000 square meters. And this will be this is currently part and parcel of the 719,000 GLA currently under construction. For office leasing, our total office leasing portfolio now stands at 1.11 million square meters. The average occupancy rate for all our offices stands at 92%, while the occupancy rate for stable malls is at 96%. For 2019, we look forward to the full opening of the Ayala North Exchange BPO Tower with 18,000 square meters of gross leasable space. Our Manila Bay BPO in the second quarter of this year. Both buildings, by the way, are already fully or 100% leased out. By the fourth quarter of this year, we are set to open our Central Block Corporate Center in Cebu and the BGC Corporate Center 2 in the Bonifacio Global City. So total GLA that we are putting on stream in 2019 is 93,000 square meters. And this is currently part of the recorded there as part of the 424,000 square meters currently under construction. For hotels and resorts, we now have a total of 3,018 rooms as of the end of the first quarter. We added 45 new rooms, 35 of which were in Seda Leo. Average revenue per available room, or RevPAR, of all hotels increased by 4% to 3,683 pesos per night, and decreased by 4% to 9,182 for all resorts. However, our RevPAR for our stable hotels improved by 5%. Similarly, the RevPAR for our stable resorts improved by 4%. Occupancy is quite healthy. For the hotels, average occupancy stands at 71%. This was a 2 percentage point improvement. And for our stable hotels, occupancy stands at 80%, or a 4 percentage point improvement. Resorts lower for the average at 69%, but for the stable resorts, flat at 75%. Upcoming openings include the 342-room expansion of Seda BGC. That's we're targeting to open that in the second quarter of the year. And Seda Residences in Makati, our first service residence concept carrying the Seda brand. 293 rooms. We hope to open that within the third quarter of this year. So that those openings are part of the 3,061 rooms that we currently have under construction. For other leasing formats, industrial spaces composed of factory buildings and warehouses, we now operate a total of 158,000 square meters of leasable space, with the addition of 19,000 square meters Alviera Industrial Park. This 19,000 square meter space, these are warehouses, were leased to Badan Building Material Corporation, one of the largest manufacturers of engineered stone in China, who have located some of their operations here in the Philippines. For the flats, we opened our second facility last January. This is at BGC 5th Avenue, a total of 1,500 beds. This brings our total bed count to 2,228, together with our first flats in Amorsolo, Makati. For clock-in, we now have 695 seats, occupying 3,032 square meters of gross leasable co-working spaces, with the addition of clock-in Vertis North. We will target to open 711 more seats in the following sites: the 30th in Pasig, Ayala North Exchange, Alabang Town Center, and a small facility in Leo, Palawan. Our balance sheet continues to be solidly positioned. Cash and cash equivalents stood at 22.8 billion as we deployed cash to fund our capex. Total debt and stockholders' equity increased by 2%. Our current ratio currently stands at a healthy 1.27 times, while our net debt to equity ratio remains moderate at 0.75, slightly higher than last year's 0.72 times. The proactive management of our debt portfolio provides us with sufficient flexibility to operate in this higher interest rate environment. Our average cost of borrowing moved up to 5.1% as a result of higher average interest rates. However, 89% of our debt is locked in with fixed rates, while 94% of the total portfolio is contracted on a long-term basis. In terms of capex, we spent a total of 22.3 billion during the first quarter, 51% of which went to residential projects, 17% to the completion of commercial leasing projects, 13% for land acquisition, 12% for estate development, and 7% for other investments. Our 2019 full-year capex budget still stands at 130.4 billion. Just some highlights on the announcement that we made last April 24, wherein the company is targeting to establish the first REIT in the Philippines. I'll just give you some of the salient points, and we can open this up to further discussion with our commercial business leasing head, Junia Landoni, the incoming president of the REIT, Carol Mills, and we have BPI, our lead underwriter here, Chiki and Reggie, to address any of your questions. So the rationale for the REIT, threefold. It allows us access to new investors, provides us with the ability to recycle capital, and allows us to help in the promotion of the development of the Philippine capital markets. The portfolio will be seeded initially with Grade A commercial office buildings in Makati. The estimated portfolio size is between 25 to 26 billion pesos. A REIT, which is what we're calling this REIT, intends to be listed under the existing implementing rules and regulations, which prescribes an MPO, or a minimum public ownership requirement, of 67%. We intend to achieve the 67% MPO on day one. The existing rules and regulations allow you a 3-year period, but if you were to get to the, if you were to go with the 3-year period, you actually have to put up an escrow. So to do away with the escrow, we're willing to cede an MPO, seed MPO to about 267% day one. A REIT was formerly known as Juan de la Rosa Property Development Inc. We've obtained SEC approval for the amendment of our articles of incorporation and bylaws, all in accordance with the REIT Act of 2009. And as mentioned, we aim to list within 2019 once all the regulatory approvals are in place. So to summarize, top line growth of 7%, bottom line growth of 12%, property development revenues up 6%, reservation sales, gross reservation sales increased by 8%, commercial leasing revenues jumped by 19% as our shopping centers posted same mall revenue growth of 12%, pushing revenues higher by 14%, office revenue surged by 27%, hotels and resorts revenues climbed by 25%. And within the year, Ayala Land is hoping to establish the first REIT in the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we can open the floor for questions from our live audience. Yes, Carl C.
Good afternoon. I actually have a lot of questions, but let's start with the mall business. Same mall rental growth of 12% is actually very high. I don't remember ever seeing it double digit. So what caused this?
If you remember back last year, January, we had a fire in Cebu in one of our major anchors. That basically affected the sales, or same mall sales, or same mall revenues in Cebu. So you're starting from a lower base last year. So this year that it's back to normal operations, so we got a lift, no? So if I take that out, we take that out, same mall revenue growth is actually at 8%.
Regarding the A REIT this time, 26 billion, is that an estimated market cap? Or, I don't know what 26 billion signifies.
That's correct. That's an estimated market cap.
And then for office division this time, correct me if I'm wrong, is it 190,000 square meters this year? Did I mishear? Addition.
93,000 square meters this year.
Oh, so it's 93,000 square meters. And how much of that is pre-leased already? Just the two buildings, is that? I know those are fully pre-leased.
The first two buildings are fully leased, and the balance, we're working on it, but we still have time because these are still going to be opening in the third and fourth quarter of the year.
Uh-huh. And then the residential segment this time, the revenue, for residential revenue, down 1%. Whether for this category or for total development, could you give us the growth number if we exclude MCT from both periods? To get a feel for the domestic business only.
We'll get back after the briefing.
Okay,
just
thank you.
Calculate.
Thank you, Carl. Next question, please. Yes, Kirby.
Hi. Just a question on the A REIT. So, given the 26 billion market cap, how many office buildings are you looking to put in the REIT, and is there a clear use of proceeds already from what you're going to raise?
I have to ask our underwriters here, BPI, if we can disclose the number of buildings. I guess not. Not yet. So just wait for the registration. So.
And yes, there is a clear use of proceeds. Mr. Lau needs an additional 10 billion. Ms. Ana Margarita needs another 10 billion.
Chiki, when will the legislation be out? End of this month, end of May.
Any more questions? Let's probably open it first from the callers. Operator.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star in one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, it's star in one if you wish to ask a question. All right, and we've got our first question comes from the line of Jason Yeo from Goldman Sachs. Jason, your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got a few questions. Firstly, on the residential revenues, it was down 1% year-on-year. Just for the Philippine market, would you say it's a timing of bookings and revenue recognition? And I guess revenue for this segment will pick up for the rest of the year?
Yes, the revenue recognition is just a timing issue and based on percentage of completion. And it will continue to, it will pick up during the year. And I think the just need to check the leading indicator, which is the sales growth.
Okay, so the 130 billion launch target, you're still fairly confident in achieving that number?
Yes, we're targeting 130 billion launch for the year. But it's mostly in the third and fourth quarter.
Okay. And then on the REITs, you also talked about possibly using the REIT to acquire third-party assets. In terms of the general market landscape, are there active sellers of buildings in the market? And would this mostly be non-property-related companies looking to monetize their real estate assets?
Well, what we're seeing in the market is that there's single asset properties, no, owned by families or small corporations, and many of these individuals and corporations are looking for a liquidity event. So it's very possible that this market is actually strong. No, we're getting good indications that there's strong interest from these individual owners and corporations.
Yeah, just one last question. Can you talk about what you're seeing on the Chinese demand? Are they still very active in the residential and office sectors? And it looks like they're also coming into the industrial sector as well. What kind of companies are looking to, take up industrial space in the Philippines?
The answer to your question is yes. The Chinese continue to invest in the country. Both we see them both in residential as well as office for sale products. No, on the industrial park, basically we now have one locator in Alviera in Pampanga. That's an example of a manufacturing company that basically will manufacture high-end engineered stove in that facility. So that's an example of a company based in Guangdong province who will be looking to move some of their facilities here in the Philippines.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. And our next question comes from the line of Pratik Ray from HSBC. Particular line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. I'll probably take them one at a time so that it's easier. My first question is on your pre-sales. We've been historically doing pre-sales growth of about 15-odd%, like in the mid-teens sort of range. For the first quarter, we've done only 8%. Does that mean that we are likely to see a moderation in the pre-sales growth for the full year this year vis-a-vis last year, especially given a lot of your launches are also going to be back-ended in the fourth quarter? That's my first question.
The answer to your question on the mid-teens growth, we actually, in the last 5 years, we only saw that, I believe, last year. What I've been telling, I guess, the our shareholders, the investor group, is when you look at the trend line of residential or development sales, what you should be expecting is anywhere from mid to high single-digit rate based on I guess the economic growth that the country is experiencing. Now, along the way, you're going to see some years that where you're going to see double-digit growth rates. There will be some years that you will see low single-digit growth rates, like what we saw back, I think, in 2016, wherein we only registered a 3% growth in reservation. Then that picked up to, I think, about 13% in 2017. Then 2018 went to 16%. So expect some, you know, volatility along the way, but I think the trend line definitely is moving upwards, anywhere from mid to high single digit growth rates.
Got it. Thank you. The second question I have is related, probably, and it's with regard to the revenue and PATMI growth. PATMI growth specifically of 12%. I think this is one of the lowest that we've seen in the first quarter. I appreciate that usually your profits are back-ended, but does that concern you at all, or are you fairly confident with regards to, you know, where you're headed in terms of your 2020 target?
My sense is I think we're still on track on the 2020 target. I think the 12% that you're seeing in the first quarter is lower than our usual growth rate, primarily because the bookings and the construction completion have not actually occurred on the residential side. The good news, though, is we're really seeing strong growth now on the commercial asset side, as we see more and more of our commercial assets that we started building a few years back getting either completed or getting stabilized now. So moving forward, assuming the market remains strong, and you could see the leading indicator on sales growth, it continues to be healthy, you'd expect that residential revenue growth should pick up in the balance of the year.
Thank you. And my final last question is on the REIT side of things. You mentioned that the initial estimated portfolio size is going to be 26 billion peso. But also, I understand from REIT will also be 26 billion. Am I correct in understanding that in that case there is no debt in the REIT at inception? And also, what is the book value of the assets currently on your balance sheet that you are going to inject into the REIT?
I think all of those data will come out when we come out with the registration. So maybe if we can just wait until the legislation is released by end of May.
Thank you so much. And our next question comes from the line of Chang Ki Ong from JP Morgan. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. I would like to ask about the sales reservation by product mix. I'm referring to the slide where you show the sales reservation by Ayala Land Premier, Alveo, etc., etc. I noticed that, I mean, you don't disclose the exact peso amount, but the Ayala Land reservation sales amount seems to have been declining since second quarter last year. Now, is this intentional because of the type of launches you have been introducing to the market, or do you see some shifts in the appetite of your typical premier customers? Then I guess a follow-up question to that is, of the 130 billion peso launch pipeline for 2019, how much of that will come from Ayala Land Premier?
The underlying demand across all market segments remain quite strong. The variation that you see quarter on quarter or year on year is just dependent on, I guess, the inventory that we're introducing into the market. But as far as strength across the board, it continues to be there. I think what you're seeing in the Ayala Land Premier is more the level of inventory that we have today is probably lower than usual. So we hope to be able to catch up with those inventory levels for the balance of the year once we start launching new products from the second quarter to the fourth quarter of the year.
In terms of the distribution of residential products launched, we've been maintaining roughly between 90 to 93% of our residential launches would come from the top three brands, namely ALP, Alveo, and Avida. So that that mix or that contribution from the top three brands remains this year. So the launches will still be skewed. 93% would go to those three brands, similar to last year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chanky.
Thank you so much. And our last question comes from the line of Wilson Nung from Morgan Stanley. Wilson, you want to ask your question?
Hi, good afternoon. So first question for me will be on MCT. So MCT, how much did it contribute to revenues in the first quarter?
Hi, Wilson, can you please repeat that?
Yeah, sure. MCT, how much contribution did it have to revenues in the first quarter?
MCT revenue contribution for the first quarter stood at 1.1 billion pesos.
Okay, I understand that there had been a high base last year, and would it be fair to say we can expect the same or similar levels of contribution for the rest of the year?
Yes, we expect more or less the same, plus or minus maybe 10% growth.
Thank you, that's helpful. Second question is on your inventory levels. So I noticed that the pre-sales were a lot more than the launches this quarter. What are your inventory levels, unsold inventory levels right now?
It's roughly about 11 months. We ended last year a little bit, just slightly above 12 months, so we're now at the 11-month level. So this is well below our targeted inventory levels of 12 to 15 months.
Thank you, that's helpful. Lastly, again on the REIT, so maybe to get a sense, where do you see office cap rates being for the Makati office space right now?
Can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, sure. What are the cap rates for Makati office building?
Yeah, there's no market established cap rates yet, so hopefully this will be the first one to establish those cap rates. So we'll just have to wait until actual pricing.
I think the cap rates that the analysts are using a cap rate for offices of about between 7 to 8%. We think it's probably a little lower than that. So what I've seen in the reports that have been put out, office properties cap rate of between 7 to 8%. We think it's a little high.
A bit more on your choice of timing. Why now? Why this year?
Why not?
I think we've been thinking about this for a long time. As you know, we were part of the group that drafted the REIT law. So every year we toss this idea around and think if it makes sense. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, at the start of this year when a couple of ideas were thrown on the table and it all gelled. And we felt that this was an opportune time to issue list the REIT under the existing IRR. In the past, we were thinking about if the REIT law would change, maybe we'd look at it. But it's been 9 years, and we think with this model that we that was subject of a brainstorming session, we think with our model, it's a good time to issue a REIT under the existing rules and regulations.
Thank you. Just last one. Would setting up a REIT platform affect your target earnings mix of 50% of recurring income?
Were you asking if the REIT was part of our 50-50 net income target?
Would setting up a REIT affect your target to achieve a 50% of your income to come from recurring sources?
If you remember when we set those targets, I believe 5 years ago, no? I think what we had also said at the time is, everything also will be dependent on how the development business grows. I think what we wanted to communicate at that time that we were going to go flat out, both in terms of development as we see demand, but in particular to really, invest quite a bit of our capital into building our commercial assets, which is actually what we've done now for the last 5 years. And now, as you could tell from the results that we're reporting, we're now seeing the fruits of all those assets now coming online. The 50-50 target is an artificial target because, you know, if you really wanted to meet that, that's possible if we just slow down the development side of the business. But I don't think that's really what we want to do. We want to grow both sides of the business as fast as we can. I think the recurring income side has been growing faster than the development side, which is really also our intent. Again, primarily because of all the investments now that we've done over the last few years. So I wouldn't be too hung up on the 50-50 target. I think the key to look at would be the rate of growth that you're seeing in our commercial assets, which has been quite significant now over the last 5 years.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you, Wilson.
Thank you so much. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you very much. I'd like to once again open the floor for questions from our live audience. Yes, Rachelin.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a clarification regarding the 1% growth of revenues for residential. Since you said earlier that it's more on a timing issue on the domestic front, does that mean or indicate that there's some slight of slowdown in the construction or delays in the construction finish?
No. It's, as we said, we think a high single digit, mid to high single digit growth is probably is achievable this year. It really follows the construction cycle. You just need to look at our residential launches. And you start to see a pickup in the bookings on years 3 and 4. So you look back 4 years ago, 2015, we launched 78 billion. 2016, it went down to 66 billion. Before it started picking up 2017 and then 2018. Last year, 2017, it was about 89 billion. Then last year, we launched 130 billion. So we're now recognizing revenues on projects we launched 2015, 2016, which was about 78, then 66 billion. And then those that we launched in 2017 and 2018, which moved up higher, you're looking at that was 89 billion and then 130 billion last year. We'll start recognizing that, assuming we don't, our inventory levels don't increase, we sell it out completely, then you start seeing that coming through in the next 2 to 3 years.
If I could just add, typically there are two things basically driving that revenue, right? So one is the bookings, and then two is the construction completion. If you look at construction completion, it follows an S curve. Okay, so what you're seeing in terms of a lower revenue in the Q1 is a lot of the projects that are being turned over now, which is quite a bit, is at the tail end of the project. So therefore, less revenue recognition. Then the other one that maybe I'd like to highlight, if you remember, we launched a lot of projects and sold a lot in the fourth quarter of last year. Again, if you follow the S curve, in the beginning, you don't get a lot of revenue recognition when that happens. Not to mention, it also takes time to book those sales, particularly on the lower-end brands.
Just to clarify, you're currently following the IFRS 15 already?
Yes.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Peter Lee of IGC Securities. Just a clarification on the REIT to get a better picture of the structure. So far, what has been mentioned is that it'll be a 26 billion market cap. Just to clarify, is does the 26 billion mean that it'll be 26 billion worth of assets injected into the vehicle, such that of which 67% will be offered to the public? Therefore, money will flow to the parent, Ayala Land. Meaning, in effect, it's like a secondary share sale. Or is it on the other end of the spectrum wherein the REIT will raise fresh funds, cash, so that cash will be in the REIT? How will the structure be? Or is it a mix of both?
Normally, REITs actually, they don't raise
fresh
cash because it's actually, it penalizes the yield. No? So, having said that, our intention is to have a combination of secondary and primary, but majority would be secondary.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question. If you can share with us what benefits you see for Ayala Land in putting up the REIT. And also another aspect is that if you can also share with us the benefits in terms of payout of rentals or any tax benefits that you see in the REIT.
Well, the REIT is actually a tax-free vehicle, no? So that alone is already a big plus for shareholders, no? Of course, the other strategic objective of ALI is to recycle capital, no? There are other uses within the company for fresh funds. So I hope that answers your question.
Maybe I'll just add to that one more thing, which I think did in one of the interviews I did about a couple of weeks ago. We intend this to be, hopefully, another growth leg for the company. I think Junie did mention a while ago that part of the intent is for us to be able to provide the liquidity event on some of those owners of assets, whether it be single building, single warehouse, or what have you, to be able to come into the REIT and for us to be able to generate some fees and income associated with that particular business model. No? Obviously, we have to do our due diligence. We have to make sure that the assets would be good assets to put into the REIT. But hopefully, that would be a source of another revenue stream for us.
Yes, Jason.
Just to clarify, the friction on transferring assets from ALI into the REIT, how much would that be for the initial transfer, and how much would it be for succeeding transfers? And also, does that friction include VAT?
No, because the assets that we are contemplating to REIT are actually already in a vehicle called Juan de la Rosa Holdings Corporation. So it's already an existing company owning these assets, and we're just changing the name to a REIT, and we're also changing its major purpose to as a REIT vehicle.
Any more questions? Danielo, Jeline? Okay, I guess with that, I'd like to officially close our briefing this afternoon. Thank you very much to everyone.